So I did some checks on camera and I figured out that the blinking light was just bad connection on my power bank, one of them. And so now I just tinkered around with that. I hopefully the light lasts. This will be a longer talk perhaps, because this, I figured out if I start to talk it will be long. And as last I put on timer on 35 minutes, so it should give me alarm. Why it doesn't go? Okay, on 33 minutes I set alarm, so 5 minutes before the camcorder automatically stops the video, starts new one, because last video I it cut on half a word. So right now when the alarm goes off I stop quickly and I will start another video continuing from the point where I stopped, because this camcorder lasts only 38 minutes, the video maximum length. And I put some background music to speak myself louder, to have a clearer voice on this camera. And as the last talk was about the army, so I will continue from there after coming back. And one day I'll tell a story before the army as well, because there were also funny stories on my school times, etc. So let's continue from after coming back from army. You know, it was 1990s, as I said, and everybody, my schoolmates, old schoolmates from technical school, engineering school, they already had businesses. And it was a time when everybody had like all the money was moving on black market and illegal stuff. I mean, illegally, it's not just legal, not something bad, but like color metals from Russia, they brought over the border, and they made millions, you know. And some of my friends were millionaires when I came back from army, only after half a year. They made very quick cash, you know. And this time was already, you know, getting over. It means that everybody was already taking his place in the niche in this business, and I was like behind on all of that, and I didn't want to get involved anyway, because it was mostly ruled by mafia, local mafia, big mafia, and it's nothing secret. I don't tell any secrets, you know. It's all in everybody knows. It's like in newspapers everywhere, and you know, even TV shows they have had in Soviet countries, when mafia people talk with politicians openly on TV, who is better helping the society. So I'm not telling any secrets, and if my story gets too far, I just tell it the way it doesn't affect anyone, you know. So I came back from army and I saw that I'm behind. I have no business anymore to do big money. So I just did security jobs in clubs, in some protection jobs a little bit. And as I was went back to my martial arts like training school as a teacher, then came information that army needs. It was already local army, not Russian army anymore. It was local army style camps, and they didn't know anything about the army. So I was just invited as a teacher there too, to give lessons, especially martial arts. And there were older guys, I mean older than me. The military was most voluntary, nobody paid. It was just on voluntary basis. And some older guys were voluntary, but younger guys had to do this half a year or something there in local army. So I started to give lessons also there, but they couldn't pay. It was, as I said, they didn't have any money. So I figured out that I got to leave somehow. I got to grow up, and I tried to talk to the local generals that, you know, I'd be happy to get some pay as well for my job, because it's, you know, it's not fun to leave if you have nothing. I didn't have any business, you know. And Basically, after we made the deal, when I had problems with mafia, not I, I skipped that moment. I will tell after that story about military, how I got paid, and how I got equal like them, the business, you know. So as my friends were millionaires. Some of them, and they had also loaned out money to other people, and they said, "Listen, we have several hundred thousands there, you know, hanging around in the town and in the country, so just make some money and take 50% from. Depends, smaller sums 50%, bigger sums less. Sometimes if there was like several hundred thousand one deal, then you just take 20% or something." But it was a well-paid job. I mean, I made good money, and I was quite successful. Not everybody was successful, as far as I know. I almost 50% of something, 50% of cases were sold. I got money back, so I quickly got several cars, and not something luxury, but you know, the cars of debtors. They were kind of not very well kept often. I had 15 cars in these years, not the same time, but all taken from different debtors of different businessmen. And you know, one breaks down, you take another one, and you know, I had several apartments taken, but I didn't keep any apartments for myself, for obvious reasons, but I made money in any case. Nice way. Not in bad way, like I didn't beat anyone up, I didn't shoot anyone. I had some shootings with criminals, but that's another story. When I couldn't, from that, from friends, it grew up to a bigger business. During years, I just don't want to make story very long. I said, I did many years with debt collecting business, and since my friend's cases got sold and I figured out it's a good money, so I already moved to another town, bigger town. My town is very small. I moved to a bigger town, and I opened bigger business there. I mean, a bigger debt collecting business, and officially. And I put advertisement on newspapers. I had several tens of people working for me, and lawyers, and it was a consulting business officially to resolve issues, financial issues, and it was everything legal, you know, nothing was illegal. It was just, we did it nicely, and just exerted some psychological pressure, let's say like that. And the cases which we couldn't solve, we sold. The seller sold documents to mafia. I mean, mafia is such a word that in our country, just saying mafia doesn't mean anything, you know, because you can be a government mafia who has no connection to criminals, who just bureaucratic mafia, make money for some permissions had last time. I don't leave my country over 20 years already, so it was, I all tell about the past times, the 90s. And the gangs, wannabe mafias, like who only moved around and abused people, while the real mafia was, there were like five bigger mafia who were fighting with each other also. Shooting each other, having territorial conflicts, and when somebody, it was so bad in the 90s that if even mafia was in the bar and with their gang and somebody just look at them bad, they just shoot the people, you know, and it's just counting bodies. I didn't want to get part of any of it, but I had to deal with them sometimes. So the cases which I couldn't solve, I'm telling later, not in the beginning. Beginning I dealt only with friends, but after, when my business was big and I couldn't anymore solve the case, then people were sometimes also untouchable. I had to get information from gangs, like who is protected, who pays like tenths of their criminal money to the Obshchak. Obshchak is means like central bank of there, you know, I don't want to tell in English because I don't want to know even these words. It's all in my past, you know. I wasn't involved in any criminal myself. I just sold the unsolved cases to these guys who did solve them. And sometime I heard later that the guys who were really rude, I mean, I dealt only with these guys who were really, really liars, who lied out money and promised giving back. And some people were really in difficulty. And we took even small cases sometimes, just for principal reasons, even for like 200 crowns. It was still crowns, it wasn't euros. We didn't make any money sometimes. Cases, we just helped people to get back their money. You know, we spent more money sometimes, but we helped them also for our own name, so people came to us. And when I couldn't solve the cases, I was owner for business, so if I couldn't solve the cases, any of our guys, so we just sold them. And after we heard that somebody, some of these really bad liars who lied out of everybody money and, you know, didn't care about anybody, just big liars. And they had some accidents somewhere in forest, you know, just not dead, but just, you know, accidents happen. They just fell down from a tree and ended up hanging from a tree, feet up, you know, and, you know, stories like that. So finally, the bad guys took the money anyway. And we had a like big relation in that sense that sometimes they came to me and said, look, you're not doing your business, it's our business and you're taking our job. And you know, I still got a relation with them, and I gave them job as well. So finally we were fine with each other, we didn't compete anymore, you know. But coming back to earlier when I started, I did also, you know, as a trained military, in my country military a little bit. And they couldn't pay, I left, and I was same time dealing with non-paid debts. So some guys, like liars, big liars, they didn't want to pay. And they said, like, look, I have pressure from mafia. And I'm not a mafia guy myself, so I went to the army guys and I said, listen, I worked here, I teach you, and let's make a deal. You help me now with this case, and we are equal. You don't have to pay me anything for my teaching job. So, you know, it was very loose time. They had guns all over, and, you know, they gave one gun to me. They gave two couple of guys with Kalashnikovs, and we went to forest where supposedly a criminal gang was hiding, who was oppressing the debtor. But he, when we finally got with Kalashnikovs and we got surrounded the house in the forest, and you know, just before going to action, the guy finally cracked and said, listen, I lied to you, actually there wasn't any gang, that you know, I just didn't couldn't pay, and you know, I lied to you. So basically, anyway, I already told the military guys that I don't want any money from you, so I didn't get any money from this case either. So the cases which were not solvable, we didn't, you know, press, because some people just ended up bankrupt. Not everybody got a millionaire in 1990. Some people took money with big wishes and they just went broke, and that was nothing to take. Not everybody was a liar. So when I figured out that guy is not just liar, not taking it from everyone without any intention to pay, and then he left them alone and said, listen, guys, here is the paper, the debt paper, and came back to the owners and say, like, wait for better times. And one day they get money, and we talk to them, you know. So it was, you know, I made pretty good life. And as I said, I had several cars already, and luckily I sold one very big case in my little business. I sold it alone, actually, without other guys. And it was just a good talk, you know, you have to talk. And later it became my friend. He got back from lied out business. He had one big company, and other owners, he created his company, and other owners took it away legally, little by little, you know, some machinations. And I talked to these guys and they gave the business back to my later friend, and then I got pretty you know, good cash from it as well, and cars and etc. But as I was already in a bigger town, then not in capital, just a bigger town, and I got connections. People knew me, people came to me, to my business, my office in center of town, in an old town, in a, and I had an apartment rented central center of a city, old city. And I already actually had a wife and I had two kids already, and I was kind of getting established, let's say, like that. And one time a bigger businessman, even bigger ones, who corporation, they came to me and they had many different businesses, like big corporation guys. They usually, they look, we have one business, second business, third business, fourth, and they look in the end of a year, after a few years, they look at which companies do create profit and which companies don't. And they had a couple of, one company actually, I got one company who didn't make any profit. It was losing money. So they said, look, took it, we sell it to you. And I bought it very cheap. And this company had over 50 people working there, and it was an gambling. It didn't make profit because, you know, people didn't have money. So it was gambling business and cinema and little factory and bar. But as it didn't make any profit, I had to close the bar. I had to close the factory. I had to fire people, and I left only the cinema and gambling people. I had to move the casino stuff. I mean, the playing tables and machines. I had to move out of cinema because new law came out that you can't anymore keep gambling technique where children coming. So I gave to the guys another place, another center of town, another nice place. I gave it to him and move the tables there, and I made a deal because I was very, very busy. I said I had martial arts training and school, and I was moving around, established myself, so I didn't want only to concentrate on the gambling. So I made a deal with them that I don't watch what you do, you know, you just give me a certain amount a month and everything rest you get to yourself. And I got every month just cash coming in, and they were on contractual basis on my company working, but they, everything they did, the dealers, I mean, they created their own little society, so they took care of it. But as the law came out, I had to move them out to the other place. They said there are no clients. I said, wait a little bit, your clients are coming, because, you know, it was for new people came to the cinema all the time, but cinema, they were gone. So they said, we are losing the money. I kind of didn't believe them because I had some information as well. And they weren't kind of happy, wanted to change the contract. And finally, you know, it was too much headache because people just sometimes get just get to want too much, you know. They already had good life, they wanted more, so I fired them. Because I had just a little cash, I didn't have much from them. I said, give me every month and do your business, you know. I had bigger business in mind, the government. I proposed project to build big, how to say, not cultural central, it was a concert center in the city. And that's why I actually got into political activity later, because the corruption which I met. I was a young guy, I was like 18, after 18. I was already, when I was married, of course, I was 22, 23. And when I, the later years, 5 years, I managed the cinema. So I didn't know anything about this. I knew the mafia thing, like gangs, you know, but not about the government level corruption. I thought, now is my country separate from Russia, there is no more bureaucratical mafia. That I was like green, blue eyes, you know. I believed in goodness of people. So, and finally, when they started to ask me money, the government, when I wrote articles in newspapers, and basically, I started to begin having pressure from them. So just to solve my documental stuff, I had to take a bodyguard not to threaten them, but just to show them that don't exert pressure on me, and that could asking me money, that I deal also things, and I know people, but anyway, they exerted me pressure legally and started sent on my cinema tax office on and etc. And after writing articles on newspaper about corruption in the government, as I said, the government and the criminal gangs were completely different in my country this time. The government was just bureaucratic. They wanted to get money, but they didn't have any gang connections. I did, you know, either I wasn't a gang member. And they started to exert me legal pressure and opened the court cases against me for not paying taxes, so to say, and like they wrote in newspaper like about me that I owe them like 1.5 million something in taxes, and you know, it was just when I wrote a response to newspapers, and newspaper was part of like government mafia, you know, because newspapers didn't publish my response, even though legally they should have done it, but they did it a smart way. They did it a little response in the end of newspaper nobody usually reads. So I did have my legal response to the government accusations on my business, but nobody actually read it, and I think so. No, it wasn't paid attention to. So anyway, I have to come a little bit back again when how it began, because as well I skipped already why I escaped my country, you know, and became politically active. But when I came from back from army, I was just a philosophical person. I meditated, I do training, a lot of training. I tell a separate story about the trainings, because it will be interesting. But I didn't know anything about politics and corruption. I just wanted to make living, and not in criminal way, but there was another way to do that, just to collect debts. And that's where, that way I did money. And I had the respect of police, because, you know, sometimes I also, of course, studied a little bit law. Not studied, but the certain aspects of law I learned to know not to pass the limit, and not to get into prison, of course, and but still get money, you know. So it was like nuances that if you went to somebody's house and he, even if he invites you in, you don't go somebody out, the debtor, I mean, because he can make a claim that you attacked him, you invaded his apartment. Some cases I went, of course, when you see, you can kind of feel psychologically, you already learn people, you know, when you can go in and when you see that person is kind of acting strange, that he don't want to solve the case, he wants to just kind of get out of it any way possible, so you were careful, you didn't enter the house. And one case was in a bigger town already. I was in all white suit, you know, and moving around with taxi, not with my cars, and when I went to solve the cases, so with certain guys, because I didn't take any taxi who would talk, it was just guys who always drove me, and they didn't talk, you know, if necessary. And I went to taxi in one place, and just one guy entered called me in, but I felt something fishy, you know, you know, this guy is gonna do something about it and claim that I did, and I didn't. I said, we talk after. And I left with taxi, and he called police, and he gave the number of a taxi to the police. And it was funny, actually. I remember it was in center of town. It was a crossing of center of the very center of a town, not old town, but center of a town. And the taxi, I'm sitting in the back seat, like the diplomat, you know, with documents, with debt collecting documents all aside. And I'm just watching the road, and the taxi is turning it. And when the taxi stopped behind the next stoplight, or was just too many cars or something, stopped, I'm just watching outside, and I see the car, another car beside, all the doors fly out. I said, what's happening? You know? Just like doors fly out and guys running out, you know. And all of a sudden I knew that the taxi's door came out and I ended up on top of a taxi, you know, hands up, and they handcuffed me. And it was a guys with masks, with machine guns, you know, the police. They took me out of a taxi with all the documents, and they went to a police station. And I tell the guys, look, the documents, it's on my name, because I always bought the documents. I bought the debt collector, I'm not working, it's my money, you know. And they actually shake my hand, they said, we need people like you, because I didn't work mafia style. I didn't beat anyone up, I didn't kill anyone, so... they said somebody has to deal with these people, but because we don't have any more powers, police didn't have money neither. They didn't have any more powers to deal with pathologic liars who lied out money from people and impoverished people, you know. So on purpose, just to enrich themselves. And you know, then police knew me, and I got contacts in police, and they gave me information about. Not for free, of course, but they gave me information about some debtors. And when my business grew, then about locations of people, because police have better connections than I did. But even police have not everything, so I had also established contacts in border, and then some debtors passed through Russia and came into my country, then I had information that, okay, this debtor had arrived back to the country, it's time to take get into action, you know. So it was a fun time, but it was just one part, it was just a little part, because you know, I wasn't the only one who was dealing debts. There were many other competition, and we didn't get rich anymore, you know. The early times I made a lot of money, but the business grew, and we started to lose money, actually, not to make anymore, because we did it for good people. And some people came to us and say, like, we want to revenge. And when we saw that guys want just to revenge someone because of I don't know even which word, because of jealousy or something, and because of all the bad, we didn't do these things, you know. We said, you know, fuck off, you know. We are not revenging anyone, you know, for money, you know. We just want to have a justice and order in this country. And so it was, and I had a good relation with everyone. But one point it ended, because a new law came out that you can't even knock the door. It was many years later already, before I escaped. Just probably a year before I escaped my country for political reasons, but about government corruption. But when it came law out that even debt collectors couldn't go anymore and knock the door. It was just illegal. It became illegal, and so we had to close the business. We didn't have any more business. So everybody went his own way, and we dissolved, let's say, like that, without any issues. We just, business came down, and we didn't want to do it criminal way, so this business ended. But I already made some money, and I had good connections as well. So when you have good connections, you sometimes have to help your friends too. And one of my friends in my little town was pressured by local gangs, and local gangs, they weren't any mafia, because I immediately looked up through my contacts, do they pay anything to mafia, and they didn't. So they were just show-off guys, you know, hanging around and doing bad for people. And then it just by lucky coincidence, it happened that during one walk in the forest, I just found a handgun and with a silencer. So I didn't want to shoot anyone. I just took the silencer off, and I went to my town, to the bad guys, I mean, a criminal gang, really criminal gang, who were beating and terrorizing people. I found them in a bar. And I just showed them the silencer of a gun, and they didn't take the message, so because we were so they thought nothing gonna happen anyway to them. So I had to find them later. I don't remember how much later, maybe a few days or a few weeks, in another bar, because you know where hangouts, where criminals are hanging at night. And I found another bar, and I just had to shoot one guy in the feet, because they were really terrorizing people, you know. It wasn't really nice what they did, and I protected my friend. So basically, just to make sure that it won't happen again, I found another guy who was involved in terrorizing a few days later, in the same bar actually I found him, and I shot him between the legs just as a warning. I didn't touch him, you know, I shot well, but I shot him between the legs, so without injuring him. And the guy who a few days earlier, he got in the hospital because a leg was shot, and you know, he had to take a hospital treatment. And he talked to police, and as he talked to police, he didn't have any protection anymore of any gang. And the police actually was following me. I knew what's happening, but I got arrested, you know. And it's gonna be too long story, but I was a few weeks in a not a prison, but I had lawyers, and they took me out, and I gave them a gun, and you know, I got 3 years of not in prison, but just on watch, and just because it was in a public place, not because I shot the guy. The police told me themselves that, you know, if it was outside the bar and nobody see that you killed the guy, we wouldn't come after you, you know. But it was so many witnesses, it's a full bar, and everybody saw. And some people just didn't know that these guys were criminals, really terrorizing people. And they talked on the court, so I got some temporary sentence, let's say, like that. But I had to carry gun, illegal gun, anyway, because you know, I had to deal with business, with casino, and with cinema, and some other movements. Still, you have to protect yourself and family, you know. So remember, it was 1990s. People are shooting all around, everybody, for nothing, even for just watching bad somebody. And guns were easily available, and not for me. I just found by accident. But even military guys, I mean, local military guys, they had shooting with mafia and killed someone. And sometimes they, by accident, touched other guys, and they were all kind of left free. It wasn't like I had some special connection, because we really had to get rid of the mafia. I mean, gangs, not mafia. Because I say, in my country later, the mafia had even more control over a calm situation in my country than government or police did, because mafia has also their own rules. But the gangs, the little gangs, who just very, very bad people, who didn't have any respect to anyone, and just had a gun and had terrorizing everybody. And so it wasn't nothing special, you know, like okay, shooting, and you know, it was just the usual thing in my country. I tried to teach my wife to shoot, but you know, she didn't want to know anything about it. And it's a long story already. I continue on next video, the how it's called, not alarm, but timer went off, so video will cut anyway. This camera is cutting videos itself, so this time I decided I stop it myself, and I'll continue next.